This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan along with Tyler Donaldson. The Texas wildfires that burned over 1 million acres and killed over 7,000 cattle are finally contained. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President of Government Affairs Ethan Lane talks about the lingering effects that those fires will have on the cattle industry.
Well, so we harvest around 600,000, 620,000 right now head of cattle a week in this country. Losing 7,000 head of cattle is always going to be extremely damaging, especially to those producers who are feeling that impact. As far as the supply chain goes, I think it's important that consumers not feel like, gosh, we're not going to have enough beef now or things like that. Over the course of the next few weeks, I think you'll see the supply chain count for that and find cattle to make sure those orders are being filled. But, the focus is on those producers and the impact they have felt to their operations in that fire-prone area.
And though the fires have been contained, that doesn't mean that the work stops.
I think that when fires like this are contained, they tend to leave the news. They tend to leave the front of everybody's minds. This is when it's really important for folks to lean into those disaster relief programs. Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers has their TSCRA Disaster Relief Fund. Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation has a Wildfire Disaster Relief Fund. Both of those are on their websites. That's going to be your best option to get money directly to those impacted producers, and that's where the focus needs to be right now is helping these producers weather the aftermath of this fire and get them back on their feet.
Van Aan and Company market analyst Christy Van Aan says the livestock markets are seeing some profit taking, but have bounced off of the lows.
Last week, when April live cattle closed that gap, you immediately saw some selling pressure, but really stayed supported very well. I think fundamentally we see cash being very friendly to these markets. So the markets is saying, hey, I'm not so sure I really want to do much here. We've honestly been in a consolidation trend for live cattle and feeder cattle for quite some time. I would say all the way through, you could say through back to January, we've really been consolidating these markets for both live cattle and feeder cattle. We are seeing some selling pressure show up in the hogs, but I think that is warranted.
With the tight cattle numbers, all eyes will be on Friday's USDA cattle on feed report. Wall Street Journal has compiled an analyst estimate ahead of the report. Average trade guess is for on-feed inventory to be less than 1% above year-ago numbers. Placements expected to be up over 6%. Marketings are forecast to be up more than 4%.
Bauer Trading President Jim Bauer says the back-and-forth market action continues in the grain trade.
I was just discussing the parameters of this market. It's got a different flavor to it, a different action to it. What I think is happening is these large-scale funds with lots of money, they can swing a market hard either direction. Now, of course, sometimes they swing it in the wrong direction, too. In fact, they get into a highly volatile market. It's hard for those computers to ignore the uncertainty in the market. But what's happening, it seems to me like the market's trading in sectors.
La Nina is on the way as El Nino conditions fade in the equatorial Pacific. Nutrien Ag Solutions meteorologist Eric Snodgrass expects the impact of La Nina to slowly work its way north.
So here's the big idea for this transition away from El Nino into La Nina. I think it's going to happen at a relatively quick pace. But the impact could be not felt probably until late summer. There's pretty good indication of decent spring moisture returning to the area, good thunderstorm activity returning to the area. And the most kind of common forecast from the weather forecast models suggest that drought starts in Mexico, creeps into Texas and the Four Corner states, and then late in the summer spreads up through the western plains into the northern plains.
Snodgrass says ridge riding storms should keep ample moisture across the northern plains through summer.
Nearly all of the analog years to this year suggest that we stay on the stormier side of things, albeit warm, but on the stormier side of things going forward. So if drought settles into the southern plains, we tend to do better with what we call ridge riding storms, which tends to take some of the worry off of having major crop loss. So the concern now is, do we return good enough moisture in the near term such that should we get a little drier as we go forward, we're okay? And do the summer thunderstorms, which I just kind of talked about, they come into fruition to kind of save the day on this crop later? I think right now there's a better chance of that.
The Central Plains Dairy Expo is in Sioux Falls tomorrow. Daily Dairy Report dairy market economist Serena Sharp gives a preview of some of the topics she'll be covering and what dairy producers should look out for in 2024.
I'm going to talk about the beef industry and how that impacts dairy producers' livestock values and how it contributes to reducing the supply of heifers that are available to the dairy industry. I'm going to give a milk production supply and demand outlook and hopefully wrap it all together with some thoughts on where that might put dairy producers' prices over the year to come.
Sharp says the dairy heifer shortage is something to keep an eye on going into the spring season.
The dairy heifer shortage in particular is going to have a big impact on dairy producer revenue, and so it's going to raise their livestock values and it's going to limit growth in the industry, or at least limit the pace of growth in the industry. We are tightening milk production and dairy product supplies, but unfortunately demand is only mediocre. We need better exports if we want to see higher dairy product prices and higher milk prices for dairy producers.
Cash grain basis bids at the regional grain elevators, followed by the Red River Farm Network, saw minor changes over the past week. Spring wheat basis now ranging from 10 to 65 cents under the Minneapolis May futures. Corn basis is ranging from 15 cents to 50 cents under the May corn futures contract. And soybean basis are ranging from 81 to $1.20 under the May soybean futures contract.
Faced with ongoing criticism from its farmers, the European Union is preparing to impose tariffs on grain imports from Russia and Belarus. The wheat imports are expected to receive the United States equivalent of $103 per metric ton. A 50% tariff on oilseed products is also expected. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. New project from USDA, Climate Smart, will reward Midwest dairy farmers for running climate-friendly operations. Minnesota Milk's CEO Lucas Sjostrom shares some of the details about the Climate Smart grant ahead of the Central Plains Dairy Expo in Sioux Falls.
Climate Smart grant, we have $50 million available for farmers in the upper Midwest. That is a dairy project, and also we're working with sugar cooperatives to get projects on the land that are climate smart, which definitely are on the climate smart list, but also have a lot of other impacts, both to your bottom line and water quality and good neighbor relations. We hope we can give farmers a little bit of a path, of a guidebook on how to navigate this new opportunity that is definitely going to be here for the next 5 years in terms of government funding and what comes after that.
Details for eligibility are still being sorted out.
We're still negotiating and sorting out with USDA and what exactly we need to report in this brand new program that was launched quite quickly for a USDA program, and we're still figuring out the rules of the road so we don't get farmers caught on the wrong side of what's needed or what's required. What's a little more complicated is as we work with sub-award partners, just making sure that we have all of our ducks in a row and they have theirs in a row so we're not falling short on any requirements. So again, for our 800 EDGE members across our Penn State region, we know how that's going to work and have already made payments, so they're eligible and can get going. We have a three-tier system depending on how much data and how much work you want to do to get involved.
American Farmland Trust and Anheuser-Busch have introduced the U.S. Farmed packaging seal for farm products and value-added products that derive at least 95% of ingredients from U.S. farms. American Farmland Trust Acting President and CEO Beth Sauerhoft says the goal is to maintain American farmland.
This is so important today because 2,000 acres a day of farmland are being paved over or built on or, you know, some other use. Aside, converted to some use aside from farmland. And so it's something we've got to make sure that we're not losing so much farmland. And at the same time, we're facing an unprecedented generational transfer of farmland. About a third of our farmland, or 300 million acres, is going to be changing hands in the next 20 years. And so having a program like this that is confirming that we do indeed have a really strong market for U.S. grown products is really, really important.
Anheuser-Busch Chief Procurement Officer John Rogers says the new U.S. farmed seal will appear on Anheuser-Busch packaging in May.
At Anheuser-Busch, we're very excited to be the first company to ever certify its products as U.S. farmed. Budweiser, Bud Light, Busch Light, and Michelob Ultra have now all been U.S. farm certified. We're very excited to bring Busch Light, you know, to the market with the U.S. farm seal on packaging starting this May. And it's because Anheuser-Busch beer is American grown, made, and enjoyed. And we're proudly supporting U.S. farmers for over 165 years, and we see the U.S. farm certification and our support of the certification as taking that commitment to American agriculture to the next level.
A deal is in place making it easier for farmers to integrate equipment and technology offerings from John Deere, Kinze Manufacturing, and Ag Leader Technology. With the agreement, farmers with Kinze and Ag Leader planting and display products can include their agronomic information into the John Deere Operations Center. Companies have also agreed to resolve all outstanding litigation with Deere Licensing and its Plantech technology to Kinze and Ag Leader.
National Agriculture Week is an opportunity to share local agriculture stories. Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation Vice President Carolyn Olson says especially reach out to your lawmakers.
Make sure that you are in contact with your legislators, especially on this National Agriculture Week, to share your stories and to share any concerns that you might have. This is a great opportunity to also bridge the gap, kind of, you could say, between consumers and farmers, and share your stories in various ways.
Dates are set for NDSU Extension's Youth Farm Safety Camps. Minot State University will host May 21st through the 23rd. Lake Region State College in Devil's Lake will host May 29th through the 31st. And Bismarck State College will host June 25th through the 27th. The Youth Safety Camp offers young farm workers certification training programs covering tractor operations, livestock handling, ATV safety, and first aid. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. As soil pests and plant diseases continue to evolve and adapt to treatments, researchers are constantly searching for new ways to combat these issues. Land O'Lakes alfalfa and forage specialist Jeff Jackson talks about some new treatments and how the alfalfa industry can stay relevant with growers going forward.
Some breeders and scientists came up with some neat little breakthroughs to help us fight those shifts in the soil-borne diseases that we were having trouble with. Now we have newer varieties again, and we have found some different seed treatment chemistries that are helping us get healthier live alfalfa stands. Some of it would be new chemistries applied on seed as a seed treatment. The bigger portion is just intensive screening on variety selection when new varieties are being released or introduced. Develop new varieties and screen really hard, and now they have these new vectors to screen against, and they have varieties that can handle that pressure.
Variety selection of crop plays a big role in reducing resistant diseases and pests.
And if you're not paying attention to the variety selection, to find the varieties that will work best in your world or in your soil types, it can be a pitfall to getting a stand established. So it fits into that set of topics of, hey, what are the five major things I need to pay attention to? Make sure I'm getting a stand started healthy or well or correctly.
Let's check numbers before we leave you this afternoon. May wheat Minneapolis, 4 1/4 higher at 655. Chicago May wheat's up 8. Kansas City May wheat, 7 1/4 higher. May corn, 3 1/2 higher at 439.5. July corn's up 3 1/2 at 452. December corn's 2 1/4 higher at 473. May soybeans down 2 3/4 cents at 1185. August is down 3/4 at 1198 1/4. New crop November, penny higher, 1181 1/2. In Winnipeg, May canola, 360 a metric ton higher, 635.30 Canadian. April live cattle down 55 cents, 188.02. June's down 47 cents at 184.92. August live cattle down 35 cents at 184 even. March feeder cattle down 55 cents, 250.65. April is down 5 cents at 255.05. And May feeder cattle 22 cents lower at 258.90. April lean hogs down 92 cents at 85.90. May lean hogs down $1.05 at 92.37. June lean hogs down $1.45 at 101.57. Dow Jones Industrial Average 249 points higher, 39,039. This is the Red River Farm Network.